You're listening to Your Financial Choices on WDIY Allentown. Your Financial Choices may discuss various financial-related topics and thus would like to offer the following disclosures. Lori Siebert is employed by Valley National Group, the Valley National Financial Advisors Group of Companies. Investments are offered through Valley National Investments Incorporated, member FINRA, SIPC. To ensure compliance with requirements imposed by the IRS, we inform you that any U.S. federal tax advice contained in this communication is not intended to or to be used for the purpose of avoiding penalties under the Internal Revenue Code or promoting, marketing, or recommending to another party any transaction or matter addressed herein. This show is for educational purposes only. For advice specific to your own situation, we recommend that you consult your CPA, CFP, or attorney.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. I'm a CPA, CFP, and AEP. What do all those designations mean? Certified public accountant, certified financial planner professional, and accredited estate planner. On the web at yourfinancialchoices.com, and you can listen online at wdiy.org. That is particularly applicable for folks who are outside of our listening area, or maybe you work in an area where you can pick up our signal on the number of channels that we have here. But this is maybe when you get home, and if you're not in our listening area, you can always go online at wdiy.org. And also available there are podcasts of prior shows, as well as through the website yourfinancialchoices.com. So I do have folks tell me from time to time that they listen to those podcasts, so I appreciate that. And I'm going to, you know, refer to that in a little bit as we go through the show here. I do want to welcome listeners to the show, in particular new listeners. I hope that you get some valuable information in tuning in to the show each week. That is why we are here. We are trying to bring education to our listeners, informed, so that you can make informed decisions about your financial life. So let me start by saying today is May 7th, and the markets were mixed today. The Dow closing up at 16,519, the NASDAQ down at 4067, and the S&P up at 1878. Last week, I talked about planning for incapacity, so I hope that was helpful for some folks. You know, things to watch out for so that you can plan, but also to hopefully inspire those of you who do not already have your estate planning documents in order, that you visit your attorney and get not only your will, but also your power of attorney and your advanced health directives taken care of. It's much easier to take care of these things when we have our mental capacity and are physically fit to do such things. Don't wait until you are incapable of doing such things. So that was my spiel from last week. This week, we are talking about retirement planning for every stage of your financial life. I also want to mention that I'm trying to do a whole series on planning for every stage of your financial life, where we're going to cover retirement planning, estate planning, investment management, etc. Next week, I'm going to do estate planning for every stage of your financial life, and I have invited Judy Harris, an attorney with Norris McLaughlin and Marcus, to join me. Judy is a favorite guest of mine, does a great job. So she will be joining us next week to talk about estate planning for every stage of your life. We are live. I just want to remind folks that we are live. Judy Ann is here. She'll answer your calls, take your information, and ask you to mute your radio so you can hear me without the delay and we can talk without confusion. We do discuss general financial planning topics and not specific investments. And while I do typically have a topic each week, you can still ask questions off topic if you choose. I'll do my best to answer them. And tonight is always a popular topic. Retirement planning and talking about retirement accounts always seems to be an interesting subject for folks. So you're welcome to call in and talk live on the radio with me, or if you're not comfortable talking live, just give your question to Judy Ann and she will bring it into the studio. You can also send questions through the website yourfinancialchoices.com. Let me give you the phone number, and you can jot this down and have it handy each week. You don't have to necessarily call tonight, but next week you might have a question, or the next week. So write it down in case I forget to mention it often enough. And the number is 610-758-8255. 610. That's 610-758-8810. So let me set the stage for our discussion tonight, which is retirement planning for every stage of your life. I want to give you a quick summary on the elements of financial planning so that you know how retirement planning fits into that. And then I also want to give you a little primer, so to speak, on the stages of financial planning in your life, those stages that we go through. And then we're going to jump into retirement planning opportunities, some of the things you have to consider and think about. So what is fun for me and why this is applicable when we talk about every stage of your life, the audience we have at WDIY is so diverse, the demographics. It could be young people, older people, retired people, you know, stay-at-home moms, stay-at-home dads. The gamut is wide. So with this topic, we're going to try to talk and hit on how no matter what stage you are in your life, there would be some applicable tips for you. So let's get started. The first thing I want to talk about are the elements of financial planning. So the elements of financial planning basically are cash flow, investments, risk management, which is your insurance, tax planning, retirement planning, and estate planning. Now, you know, I understand that sometimes we have little offshoots of that, for example, education or long-term care or healthcare issues are sometimes little offshoots of that, but the main elements, cash flow, investments, risk management, tax planning, retirement planning, and estate planning. And you'll see that I've cover topics such as this regularly on the show throughout the years. I've been on WDIY since 2009, I believe, September 2009. So we're coming up on 5 years this September, but I've been doing the show for about 7 years almost. 7 years? Since 2007? That'll be 7 years, right. So there's lots of opportunities to cover a lot of topics that affect people's financial decisions. So real quick, I just wanted to give you a couple highlights. And again, you can find some of these prior shows on the various websites I mentioned, wdiy.org and yourfinancialchoices.com. So for example, I covered estate planning on October 2nd of 2013, financial planning October 9th of 2013. I talked somewhat about retirement accounts during tax season in February 26th. I talked about tax returns a lot during tax season, but tax returns in particular on February 12th. Risk management, we had Eileen Budd from the Budd Insurance Agency on to talk about property and casualty insurance. That was on April 2nd. We talked about cash flow planning on April 16th. So I try to take these elements of our financial planning lives and cover various topics relating to them. It is radio. People don't always have the chance to listen every week. So sometimes I'll revisit topics. We'll have new information to share, new ideas. Sometimes I'll dig down deeper into, one topic over another, depending on, you know, at what point in the shows I might be doing things. So those are just some of the ideas. So you can always go back and listen to some of those older shows if you want more information on those topics. Again, sprinkled within all of those types of topics, I've also done more in-depth shows on things like healthcare, education, charitable giving, annuities. So you can go and look at old podcasts to see what might be of interest to you. So from the elements of financial planning, we recognize that they may apply at any stage of your financial life. For example, I mentioned that cash flow applies at, it seems, every stage of our financial life. People are always thinking about their cash flow. We also have other elements of their financial planning that apply at every stage, and you could probably argue they apply it at every stage. But the stages I'm talking about are testing, nesting, investing, resting, and divesting. And the reason I gave them those little you know, cutesy names, is to help us remember them a little bit better. So we're coming up on our first break, and when we come back, I'll refine that a little more for people so that you can also help remember, because this could be important information that you may want to share with your children, with your parents, with your siblings, as to identifying what stage of their financial life they're in and what planning tips might apply to them. If you have questions this evening, the phone number is 610-758-8810. 610-758-8810. We'll be back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including fee-based asset management. It all starts with personal goals and an understanding of risk tolerance, investment objectives, and the markets. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
You're listening to WDIY, Lehigh Valley's community NPR station. If you appreciate and value the programming we provide, including NPR's in-depth news coverage, our local public affairs programs, and the diverse mix of music we broadcast each day, please consider becoming a member. Membership is our most important source of revenue. We can't do it without you. You can make a secure donation online at wdiy.org. That's wdiy.org. And thanks for your support.
Thank you, Jeff. Folks, this is your host, Lori Siebert. We're listening to Your Financial Choices, and we're talking about retirement planning this evening. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. 610-758-8810. You can ask questions live on air or off air. Just give your question to Judy Ann and she'll bring it in to me. So we are talking about retirement planning, but not just retirement planning. We're talking about retirement planning at any stage of your life. So we talked about how retirement planning is just one element of the financial planning elements. And now we are talking about the stages that we go through in our financial life. And I presented those as five stages: testing, nesting, investing, resting, and divesting. And after I go through kind of describing what these are, then I'm going to talk about various aspects of each of these stages, and either just points of interest, comments, observations, or strategies that you can use in these different stages if they apply to you. So, for example, the first stage, testing, I said this is typically we're looking at younger folks, lower salaries, lower tax brackets, college age. We're trying to figure out who we are, what we want to do, new jobs, different degrees. And this is sometimes still a stage where people are dependent on others, in particular dependent on their parents. And cash flow may, you know, be a priority for them because they feel like they have no cash flow. So young folks, people who are just starting out, that's my testing. And it's easy to remember because test, we think of school and college and that type of thing. Nesting is the second stage. That's the period of time where folks are ready to settle down, start a relationship, have a family, buy their first car, buy a first home. And then they start with having a family, raising a family, and all those big important decisions. And it's also a time where I feel that people don't really always feel like they have money because they're investing so much in things. The third stage is investing, and investing is that period of time where we have the realization where we actually might have some savings. We might actually be building something up in our retirement accounts. This might be the time where we actually start to pay attention a little bit more than we have in the past, because we start to see that we might actually have some savings and we need to start paying attention, and retirement is kind of a little bit further down the line. But this stage is typically after the kids are out of the house, or we're almost done raising the kids, almost done paying for their college education. So quite often this is a period where I would say people probably for you know, 5 to 10 years maybe before they retire, where they're starting to accumulate money. Then we have the fourth stage, which is resting, and that's usually our period of retirement. Yay, we finally get to do what we've been waiting to do. How are we going to live now? Healthcare becomes a concern. So that resting period can last about 25 years, you know, in retirement. We can see people in retirement. You know, if you retire 60, 62, 65, a lot of folks are living to age 80, 85, 90 these days. So that period of time could be quite long. So we want to talk about retirement implications during that phase. And then the fifth stage, divesting, where you're going to maybe get rid of things because maybe you're don't want to lose all your assets. So you start gifting them away to family members, or, you know, you realize you're done from this life and your estate passes it out. So divesting, you're getting rid of things. Okay, so those are the stages. So keep those in mind as we go through this. Now, the other thing I wanted to also throw out there right away, since we're talking about retirement, and I know sometimes folks can't listen to the whole show, you still might be in your commute. So let me talk about some important numbers for retirement before I get into some of the strategies. And that is, if you have the ability to, and we're going to talk about that in a little bit, the ability to put money in an individual retirement account, we call those IRAs, an individual retirement account, or a Roth IRA, those have special tax provisions. The limit on that for 2014 is $5,500 per person per year, plus an additional $1,000 for folks who are over age 50. 50 or over, you can do what we call a catch-up contribution of $1,000. But that is also to the extent of earnings. So you have to have earnings. Again, I'll discuss limitations on who can do those or who can't do those in a little bit. But those are the numbers. If you're someone who normally does IRAs, quite often we get that question, what's the amount I can put in? And for people who are turning 50 in 2014, now you can put in an additional $1,000. So if you were someone who was doing an automatic monthly contribution to an IRA, then, and you were 49 and you would like to take advantage of that additional amount, make sure that you contact your financial advisor or the institution where your account is and up those monthly amounts if you can afford to do that. So $5,500 plus an extra $1,000 for those people who are 50 or over. 401ks and 403b limitations. If you have a 401k through your employer or 403b, the employee contribution limitation is $17,500. And again, that, you know, is limited by your earnings. You can't, you know, put more than that if you don't earn it. So with your earnings, and then you have an additional $5,500 as a catch-up contribution if you're over 50. So that's $23,000 that you can basically defer reporting that income for income tax purposes if you're doing it on a before tax basis. So if you make $117,500 and you put $17,500 as an employee into your retirement account, for federal purposes, you're only going to be paying tax on the $100,000. So you're deferring paying the income tax on the amount you put into your 401k or 403b if you do it on a pre-tax basis. And the goal of that would be, if you think you're going to be in, you're in a higher tax bracket today and will be in a lower tax bracket when you retire. That's why you want to play that game a little bit. For those folks who have simple plans, which I don't see that often, a simple plan is for employers who, you know, want simplification in administering retirement accounts. That's always an option for those folks. So a simple plan contribution is $12,000 a year plus a $2,500 catch up. So those are some of the big numbers we think about for retirement accounts. Occasionally, we will hear about people who will say, my employer doesn't allow me to put that much money in my 401k. And that could happen. So that 17,000 $500 that I mentioned that and you can put as an employee in your employer plan, sometimes employers will limit it, and that is if their plan is subject to certain testing requirements where there might be highly compensated employees and they have to show that it's fair. So there's certain testing requirements that may limit certain people. I'm seeing less of that. It seems that some plans are converting and changing to something we call like a safe harbor plan, or they have enough average wages that it's not an issue. So you want to be aware that that could happen to you, but I don't see that often. So we're ready for our next break. And when we come back, then we're going to start talking about some of the retirement planning that we can do for each of these stages that I mentioned. Would love a call if you have questions. The phone number is 610-758-8810, and you can do that live or off air, whatever you're most comfortable with. 610-758-8810. Back in a second.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including income tax preparation for individuals, businesses, estates, and trusts. Tax preparation involves more than putting numbers on a return. It requires planning. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
American folk and traditional music is a crazy quilt of colors and textures. In the tradition traces its many patterns and designs. Music handed down from generation to generation. In the tradition, Wednesday evening at 7 on WDIY FM Lehigh Valley Community Public Radio.
And welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices. We're talking about retirement planning for every stage of your financial life. So let's start with the testing stage. I had mentioned this is typically our folks who are coming out of college, maybe in college, maybe you're working and going to school as well. So we're going to talk about some limitations that you may have and some credits that might be available for those folks who have recently graduated but are working and on their own. So we will talk about some opportunities for you. So when you're in college and you're working and you might be saving money, maybe you're not, but maybe you have a small job, maybe you earn $2,000, $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 while you're going to school, and maybe your parents are still supporting you, maybe your parents are financially sound and like to help you out, you may have some opportunities. In fact, this is even if you're in high school. So for those young people who are earning money, have wages, you can also have earned income through self-employment as well. But for those people who have earned income, what I like about this stage is that you're young and you may be in a zero tax bracket. You may be in a 10% tax bracket, a very low tax bracket, such that if you have the ability to work and have earnings and put them away, save them if you don't really need the money, you can start these very good habits of saving at quite a young age. And what I love at this period of time is that if you are in a 0% tax bracket, you can use the Roth IRA to the extent of your earnings. So what I have seen sometimes for those, parents or grandparents who might like to gift to their children or are happy to provide for them or help them out, sometimes what I see is they'll tell the kids, if you work, we'll fund your retirement account for you. So you might have someone who's in high school or maybe even college who is earning, let's say, $4,000. On $4,000, they're not going to have any income tax because there's, even though the child may be a dependent of their parent, the IRS still gives them certain deductions against income up to certain amounts. I'm not going to get into all the details of the numbers because I'm going to mess up, explaining this concept to you. So let's pretend you have $4,000. If you don't need the money and you would just be putting it in the bank anyway, you could actually save that money in a Roth IRA. Remember I told you the limits are $5,500? Well, if you had earnings of $4,000 and you were just going to put that money in the bank anyway, or you have parents or grandparents or, you know, maybe graduation presents. Some of these kids these days get a tremendous amount of money for graduation. I don't know if I got any money for graduation. I got luggage. Get out of here. So what? A luggage and a blanket. I love that blanket. But anyway, so if all of a sudden they find that they have this stash of cash, a great way to save that money is in a Roth IRA, because if you invest it, especially because you could invest that money and the earnings you don't take out, you don't want to take out until like forever or when you're later in retirement. But the original contribution into the Roth IRA can always come back out if you need it. I don't recommend that people take it out. It's better to just act like it's not there. But if you ever need it, you can always take out the original contributions. But otherwise, the earnings, et cetera, will grow and will be tax-free. So that is a great, great benefit for young folks, especially when they have other money available to them, either through gifts or, you know, presents or just good savings. Now, remember I said there's certain limitations and things like that. I said it was $5,500 for a Roth. You could do a traditional IRA as well. But again, back to the point about young people, when they're in a low tax bracket or a zero tax bracket, you wouldn't want to put it in a traditional IRA if you don't need the deduction. So you would use the Roth IRA concept. So that is just a beautiful thing. The other thing I want to mention, though, as we go through this testing stage, I also said it's still that stage maybe when you're still trying to figure out who you are. Now you've graduated from college. Maybe you're no longer a dependent of your parent. Well, then, if you are now out of college and working, not a dependent, you're over age 18, there is something called a retirement savers credit. And for single people, if you're page one income is less than $17,750, you could qualify for a 50% tax credit against a contribution to any kind of retirement account up to $2,000. So in that example, let's pretend I'm a young person. I'm no longer a dependent of my parents, and I've made a $2,000 contribution to either a Roth IRA or a traditional IRA. And I might do it to a traditional if I needed my income to come, you know, below these limitations. If I put $2,000 in, I would be eligible for a $1,000 credit. That is free money. And it's even better if I've put $2,000 into my Roth IRA where I don't have any income tax. And at that point, maybe you would have income tax if you're making $17,750 as a single person. But think about it. Is there going to be any time in your life that you're going to be in such a low tax bracket? So you really want to pay attention at this stage. Any college students listening, this is really important information. Is there any stage of your life where you're going to have these opportunities where you're already used to living like a poor person because you have no money, because you're a student, you're young? Just stay that way. Live like you don't have any money and start your retirement savings, because the power of compounding is just going to be phenomenal for you over time. If you get in these habits now, live like you're a student for a few years. Take your live in those apartments that, you know, don't cost anything, commute to work, use the bus, walk, ride your bike, live like you don't have money so that you can start off really fresh, really good and powerful as well. So that is some ideas for young people who are in the testing stage. Take advantage of Roth IRAs and traditional IRAs. That same retirement savers credit I mentioned would also be applicable for folks who would be putting money into an employer-sponsored plan. So if you were putting money into a 401k at work, let's say you come out of school and you get a job right away, I always want people to take advantage of the employer match on a retirement account. That's really important because that's free money as well. So you want to make sure that you're doing that at a minimum. And then if you're still within the income limitations to do maybe a Roth IRA, you can do that at the same time. And I can talk about some of those limitations as we go. I hope I'm not giving information too fast, but hopefully you can catch on to it. At least you have a flag about it when it comes up, when you go to get your first job and they tell you, yes, we have a 401k. But usually people have to be working at the company for a year. So that first year when you're not eligible for the 401k is the time you want to really latch on to these Roth IRAs or traditional IRAs to get the power of compounding saving early. Okay. Folks, if you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810, 610-758-8810. We'll be back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including estate planning and tax preparation, especially for Pennsylvania and New Jersey residents subject to state inheritance tax reporting. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Spread the word about your organization or business to a well-informed audience. Become an underwriter with WDIY. Our lineup of NPR news and locally produced music programs reaches thousands of locally engaged listeners each day. Underwriting on WDIY is an affordable way to enhance your image and to provide information about your services to people who care. For more information, visit wdiy.org.
And we are back. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices. We're talking tonight about retirement planning at any stage of your financial life. And we just got through talking about the testing stage, that young, feeling great, life is wonderful stage. And then we move on to the nesting stage, where we start the whole cycle again, where we are now acquiring things like homes, cars, and children, and or other things, just things, I guess. So this is a time, the nesting time, which could last about 25 years. This is a time when you're tempted to defer savings, meaning not save. You don't want to, you're worrying about paying for things instead of saving for your retirement. I had mentioned last week, I think Warren Buffett said, don't buy anything you can't afford. So, or if you do have to borrow, you're going to have to be very careful about borrowing. So we'll talk about how that impacts our retirement savings in just a moment. But so nesting, this is that period where you're, again, having new responsibilities, new cars, homes, and we're worrying about paying for them, paying for education. And you've heard this, I'm sure, a number of times in financial, news, media, etc., that you don't put off saving for your retirement to pay for things for your children or for their college cost or their education. Just as it applies in the testing stage, I would say you want to be careful of this because you want to make sure that you're at least taking advantage of employer matching programs. Again, that is free money. So sometimes people will say, I just can't afford to put anything in my retirement account. But if you are not putting in anything and your employer does a match, typically what we might see is an employer would say, if you put in 6%, we will put in 3%. So for every percent that you put in, we will match you a half. So if someone puts in 1%, the employer might match 0.5%. 2%, they'll match 1%. 3%. They might match 1.5. So that's where sometimes we get that 6 and 3. I see that quite often. An employer will match half up to 6%. So you put in 6, they put in 3%. 6% isn't so hard to put in, folks. Quite often you'll hear people say you should be saving at least 10% of your money. Well, of your earnings, if you're saving 6%, you're almost there. And the 3% match or 0.5% match or whatever an employer is willing to match, that again is just, extra and added incentive and great for you. So how do you accomplish this during this period of time when you think it's so hard to save because you have all these other obligations? Well, first of all, you want to be cognizant of, you know, what obligations you're taking on. Do you really need that new car? I think cars are the biggest expense that people have that is, you know, you're buying an automatic depreciating asset. So I love that I buy used cars so because I just feel like it's, you know, just a good decision anyway. So, you know, occasionally we do get a new car. I'm not saying we don't, but I guess the last several cars my husband and I have had have been used cars. So you want to be careful of what responsibilities you're taking on, what obligations you're taking on so that you can still afford to save for your retirement, save in general, save for those emergency funds, etc. You could use wage increases to make sure you're funding your retirement account in the sense that if you get a 3% increase, a 4% increase, a 6% increase, yay, great increase, you automatically walk over to your HR people and ask for the form to do salary deferral and put it right into your salary deferral, your 401k. What I wanted to mention, though, when I talked about also, you know, taking on debt and, you know, responsibilities, you do want to have some kind of balance. I don't want people having credit cards with 25% interest rates and huge balances to be necessarily putting all their money in their retirement account, because then you might not be making as much money if you're paying someone 25% interest on a credit card. So you do have to balance that. I had a call come in from Jack in Macungie. Thank you, Jack, for calling in. He asked, what is a spousal IRA and how is it different from a traditional IRA, especially from a tax deduction perspective? This is perfect, Jack. Perfect question, perfect time of call. So I am going to kind of just adjust my little book here because I have a book for reference. A spousal IRA, Jack, basically is when I talk about the nesting stage and that sometimes we have stay-at-home parents. So in the old days, you might have thought if someone was a stay-at-home parent or didn't have earnings, that they wouldn't be able to put money into a retirement account. And boy, you know, that hardly seems fair when you have someone at home working just as hard, or if not harder, if they're raising the children and, you know, taking care of the house, etc. So the concept of a spousal IRA came up. And what that is if you have someone, if there's a married filing joint couple and one of you has earnings, either through W-2 wages or earned income, then the non-working spouse who does not have earnings has an opportunity to put money into a retirement account based on their earning spouse's income. So I'm going to use an example of a husband and wife. If the husband is working and makes $100,000 a year and the wife does not work, that husband may or may not have a plan, an employer-sponsored plan at work. And this is where it gets a little tricky, Jack, because spousal IRAs aren't automatically available to the non-working spouse. There are income limitations. So in this example, I said $100,000 the husband makes. And let's pretend the husband puts $5,000 into a 401k so that his wages are $95,000 and maybe his page one income is there. Page one income is $95,000. Well, with a you yourself, if your income was below $95,000, you could have that money going into the 401k, and you, Jack, could put money into an IRA as well, like maybe $5,000, $5,500 into a traditional IRA, and your spouse could as well. So you both could in that situation. You're under the income threshold for a traditional IRA deduction. The threshold for a Roth IRA, would be $178,000. Anything under $178,000, Jack, you could put $5,500 into a Roth IRA, and your spouse could too. You don't get a deduction for the Roth IRA, but you both could put money into a Roth IRA. Now, Jack, if you told me you made $150,000, then you would not be able to do the traditional IRA, but your spouse could still do the IRA. So if there is someone who is an active participant in a retirement account, then the income limitations for the spousal IRA jump, and your spousal IRA, there's a phase out. Let me just read exactly what it says. Phase out only applies if taxpayer is covered by an employer retirement plan. For married filing joint, phase out range for non-covered spouse is $178,000 to $188,000. So the spousal IRA, Jack, basically is your spouse can put money into a deductible traditional IRA if your page one income is less than $178,000. And then there's a phase out between $178,000 and $188,000. Once your income on page one is over $188,000, then you no longer are eligible to do the spousal traditional IRA that's deductible. And the Roth IRA has those same thresholds. So I hope that makes sense. I hope you understand that. The wonderful thing is they have quite a high threshold for active participants in retirement plans to be able to do Roth IRAs. So for married people, you can do a Roth regardless of the income as long as it's under 178. Whether you're an active participant or not, that doesn't matter for the Roth IRA contributions. Folks, if you have questions like Jack did, the phone number is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. So the important part in this nesting stage, I would say, would be to be aware of your opportunities for retirement savings. Don't wait. You know, you hear that often enough, but it's so true. Make sure you're taking advantage of matching. And then also make sure you're taking advantage of such opportunities like the spousal IRA. That was something that I had planned on mentioning as well. So the spousal IRA can be a deductible traditional IRA, and or it could be a Roth IRA. Either one applies. And keep in mind, too, for people who are even in this nesting stage, there may be times where your income drops for some reason as well. Maybe someone, you know, loses a job or you're on hard times, etc. Those that retirement savers credit may be applicable for you as well. So don't forget about that. It's not just young people. It's the income limitation. So I just want people to remember that. And also that if you're a dependent on someone's tax return, you don't qualify for the retirement savers credit. All right. So nesting, make sure that you are watching out for opportunities for the matching for the Roth IRAs and traditional IRAs. The beautiful thing about the Roth IRAs, as I mentioned, again, this applies at any stage. The Roth IRAs, you can always take out your original contributions if you need it, but the earnings you want to keep in there until you're eligible for a qualified distribution where those earnings would come out tax-free. All right. So what I want to mention as well is many people in this nesting stage get nervous sometimes about having so much money in their retirement accounts. You know, what are they going to do if they need money? And that might be one of the reasons they think they don't want to put money into a retirement account because they want to have access to it. That's where we go back to the Roth, if that's an opportunity to reclaim original contributions if you need it. So you don't have to be afraid if you're eligible to do the Roth. That's, you know, a great way to save for retirement. The other thing is, if push comes to shove, there are certain opportunities to take loans from 401ks if need be. Again, I don't encourage that necessarily. I'm just saying that if what's holding you back from saving in a retirement account are those kinds of thoughts like, oh, I can't get to the money, Roth or after-tax contributions, you know, at a certain age. You may have access to that through an employer plan if they allow you to take that out. But there are also opportunities to take loans or distributions from IRAs or Roth IRAs. But you've got to be aware of the cost of doing that. So there may be taxes on a distribution. There may be taxes and penalties, a 10% penalty on an early distribution if you're under age 59 and a half. But there may be opportunities if certain exceptions apply to you. If you're age 55 or over and you've terminated from employment, if you're subject to a QUADRO, which is a qualified domestic relations order on an IRA, So there are certain times where you actually could get your hands on some of that retirement money without, you know, penalty. Just know if how to do it in the best and smartest way to avoid either penalties or taxes or minimize those. And when do those exceptions apply? There's a whole list of, you know, what exceptions apply to IRAs versus what applies to 401ks. So you have to be aware of that because it's not always the same rules. I had someone once who thought an exception applied. They were taking money out of their 401k. This was pre-Pension Protection Act. I think they took money out of their 401k for education for their child, and there was no exception to the penalty for that distribution. I think some of that has been modified if an employer, you know, puts it into the plan. But it looks like we're coming up on our last break. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. I hope you're enjoying the show and getting something out of it. And you can call and ask questions on air or off air. Again, the number is 610-758-8810. Back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services including portfolio management, tax return preparation, and financial planning for the accumulation years, retirement years, and estate distribution. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
And you are listening to WDIY Allentown, 88.1 FM and WDIY.org, serving the Lehigh Valley. The time now is 6:47. Now back to your financial choices with our host, Lori Siebert.
Thank you, Jeff. I wanted to mention a couple other points in that nesting stage. And that is, I had talked about taking loans, possibly from retirement accounts like 401ks. Those are loans that do have to be paid at back, and your third-party administrator or HR person would tell you what those terms are. Usually there's also a cost to a fee that you have to pay for taking that loan. It might be, I don't know, $100, $150. Usually it's limited to, there's certain limitations based on the balance that you have in your retirement account and, a payback schedule and an interest rate and things like that. If you terminate employment for whatever reason, your side or the employer's side, that loan does have to be paid back right away. And if you don't have the means to pay it back, then it will be a taxable distribution to you. So you have to be careful with certain things like that. So again, get over the fear of saving money in retirement accounts, but understand the implications of, if you do need money, what those implications are, so you can be smart about your decision making as you go along there. Also, I talked about the income limitations on, you know, IRAs, spousal IRAs, Roth IRAs. There is still an IRA contribution you can make without worrying about those income limitations, and it is basically an after-tax contribution to an IRA. So it's not a deductible IRA. It's not a Roth IRA, because there may be income limitations that apply to you and you're not eligible for them. And we referred to this probably in a couple shows back. We had a caller call in and mention it. So what you sometimes see is, if people are over all the income limitations, so for example, Jack's call earlier asking about a spousal IRA, if they were way over the income limitations, what you could actually do is make a non-deductible IRA contribution to for your spouse, so a non-deductible IRA contribution. And if there are no other IRAs, this actually works out quite well for spouses because quite often they don't have maybe other retirement accounts, the non-working spouse. If they don't have any other IRAs, and this is like their only one, they make a non-deductible IRA contribution, $5,500. If it's non-deductible, that means they have a basis, a cost basis in that for $5,500. What they can immediately do then is then convert that $5,500 to a Roth IRA. So you go from a non-deductible IRA to a Roth IRA. And if there's been no earnings in that period of time it took you to convert it, then there's no income tax to pay. The tricky part is if you have other IRA monies and now you've made a non-deductible IRA, the IRS looks at your IRAs as if they are all one. And then if you were to convert $5,500, that non-deductible piece, it's pro rata. And it doesn't matter if you kept it in a separate account. A lot of people get confused by this. They say, well, I put the $5,500 in this account over here, and my other IRA is $50,000. That's over somewhere else. It doesn't matter. The IRS looks at it as one. So that strategy or technique doesn't work well for folks who already have other IRA monies. Okay, so keep that in mind. We had a caller, Sean from Lower Macungie. He said he and his wife are contributing to a Roth IRA now. As income grows, can you contribute to both a traditional and a Roth? And is in the nesting phase, what is advisable, both or just a traditional, in order to minimize tax liability? Great question, Sean. Because I do get this question occasionally. People might think that they could do both a traditional, where you get the deduction, and a Roth. No, you cannot. You have to do, you can do any combination, Sean, as long as it's not more than the annual amount that you're allowed. So if you're under age 50, the amount is $5,500 each. You could do $3,000 into a traditional and $2,500 into a Roth, or $1,000 into a Roth and $4,500 into a traditional. And sometimes we actually do that with clients if we want to bring them under maybe a certain threshold. So sometimes we'll do the deductible IRA just to bring them their income down, maybe to get the retirement savers credit or to get income limitations removed or something, you know, or to allow the Roth, you know, there's any number of scenarios where we might have someone do a traditional IRA, get the deduction, bring it down a little bit, and then also do the Roth. So it's $5,500, any combination. So one could do the Roth, one could do the traditional. You might have that scenario when you have the active, you know, participant or, you know, someone who wants to build up their Roth while the other spouse wants a deduction. Now, you had said in the nesting phase, what is advisable, both or just the traditional? The thing I like about the Roth IRA, if you're still eligible for it, I like that it could serve as your emergency reserve if you need it. Remember, emergency reserve, we like to see about 6 months worth of expenses, and we want you to be able to get at that money. And with the Roth, you can always get to your original contributions. But at the same time, you know, emergency reserves, you may never need them. So then I kind of feel bad, like we're building up these emergency reserves and we're never using them and we're not doing anything with them. So I like the idea of the Roth, if you're eligible to do it, that you're kind of hedging your bets. If you have retirement plans through work and you're getting the advantage of an employer match, love that. Maybe you want to do a little bit of both. Maybe you want to do your 401k contribution through work. Maybe one spouse does the traditional, one spouse does the Roth, to kind of hedge it a little bit, that you're getting an income tax deduction, but also saving in such a way that you can access it if you need it. Sean, here's what I sometimes see, which I worry about. Sometimes I see people put so much money into their 401ks that they retire and they have no other money but the money in their retirement account. And the problem then is when they need money, they take it out. It's all ordinary income. And remember, I said what we want to watch is getting tax deferral when we're in high tax brackets and let the money come out when we're in low tax brackets. So if you told me that you and your wife are kind of like in the 15% bracket, maybe you're, you know, 35, 40 years old, your income potential, you know, I usually see this starting to hit in the late 40s. All of a sudden, people's income potential just really jumps. That's when I see big raises, bonuses, people earning a lot more money. And that's when I see tax brackets jump quite a bit. So if you're still young, still kind of maybe in the 15% bracket, I do like the concept of Roth IRAs. If you're in a 25% bracket, and maybe you're going to be in a 25% bracket your whole life, well, guess what then? It doesn't matter if you do the Roth or the traditional. It's not going to matter, because if you're in the same tax bracket forever, it's basically a wash. So try to pay attention to what brackets you're in now, what brackets you expect to be in the future. Sometimes what we see is people deferring on a pre-tax basis, getting the tax deduction now through the 401k or the traditional IRA. And then when they retire, before they start collecting Social Security, if they've had other cash, you know, reserves available, before they start collecting Social Security or the pension, they might have a really low income tax bracket. And that's when we sometimes do some conversions where we got the benefit of the tax deferral when you were in the 25% bracket. And now we're in the low tax bracket, and maybe we'll convert some of your IRA money or your 401k money to a Roth. Again, playing tax brackets. And I wouldn't want then you to take so much out that you put yourself in the same tax bracket you were in the past. You know, you would do it if you're going to be in a lower tax bracket. Okay, so I hope that helps, Sean. I love the calls, and I love the questions, and they're very applicable, and I hope that we start to understand some of the logic that goes into these decisions and how fun it is that you actually, it's like a game to me. It's like it's a puzzle. You know, it's strategies, and it can be quite a bit of fun to kind of play with numbers and see how all these things work out. But it's thinking ahead and work being proactive in these decisions as you go through it. I didn't really get to the investing stage. What I wanted to say here is that at some point, everyone realizes all of a sudden they have money, and then they start paying attention to their portfolios. I wanted to mention this is the really, really important stage, which is important actually from the beginning, but this is when people start looking at it. You want to make sure you're looking at your asset allocation. Are you properly diversified, which is one of the most important things that you can do in your portfolio, and you make sure you rebalance regularly. Also be aware that when you have retirement accounts such as 401ks, you're not always just on your own in managing those. Nowadays, you can use advisors, financial advisors to help, for a fee usually, and they can help you manage a 401k. Sometimes the fees can come out of the 401k directly if your employer and the plan allows it to be debited. Sometimes you have to have non-retirement monies available to pay those fees. So that's always can be available more nowadays than it was years ago. So you can get help with your 401ks if it's just too overwhelming for you. So pay attention to that. And just remember where you're kind of putting your money when you're in this stage. We want the tax advantaged kind of investments in your individual account, and you know, the ordinary income kind of investments skewed toward retirement accounts, because that all comes out as ordinary income anyway. And remember, we like the benefits of compounding. The resting stage, that's where we talk about your required minimum distributions at age 70 and a half. I'm going to run out of time. Required minimum distributions, a question just came in from Joan. Are required minimum distributions at age 70 and a half? Yes, indeed. Do you have insights on this subject? Well, you have to start taking out required minimum distributions at age 70 and a half. There's certain exceptions for people who are still working. And then she also asked, moved to Pennsylvania from Florida recently to be close to kids, son-in-law. Oh, told her about us and the show. That's great. Wonderful. Thank you very much. What I wanted to mention, since you moved to Pennsylvania from Florida, the wonderful thing about that, Joan, is that your retirement distributions, which would have been tax-free in Florida because there is no income tax in Florida, are also tax-free in Pennsylvania. So that's a plus. That is something definitely people have to consider when they do get to that resting retirement stage about moving to states that will tax retirement benefits. Because if you were a resident of Pennsylvania your whole life, we've been paying taxes on those deferrals to our retirement accounts. And it's a wonderful thing in Pennsylvania that we don't have to pay tax on our retirement distributions, our IRAs, 401ks, pension plans, and that type of thing. I didn't get to beneficiary designations. Very important in your divesting stage. Make sure you have primary and contingent beneficiary designations, folks. Very, very important, both primary and contingent. What if something happens to your primary? You want that spelled out. So this subject could just go on and on. There's so much to talk about and so many little facets of each of these areas. So I appreciate for the folks who stayed tuned and listened. Very thankful for the calls and questions that came in. It's my favorite part of the show. Next week, we're going to have Judy Harris, the attorney at Norris McLaughlin and Marcus, to come in and talk about estate planning for every stage of your financial life. Thank you, Jeff. Thanks, Judy Ann. Thanks, listeners. Stay tuned for In the Tradition Folk Music with Tom Druckenmiller. Remember, be proactive, not reactive. Make the best of your financial choices and have a great week.